What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When I grow up, I'm going to be a veterinarian?
It's awesome.
And I'm going to be what you said we need more of.
So you want to be a plumber-narian?
Do you think I can?
I think that if you work really hard, you can be anything.
Promise?
You bet I do.
When you promise your kids the world, we're here to help you keep it. Ohio's 529 plan is the best tax-free savings plan for future college or career training nationwide. Start now at collegeadvantage.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to Commanding the Huddle. I am your host, Ryan Fowler, back from the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit. What a draft haul it was for the first year of GM Adam Peters. His draft haul was fantastic. Bottom line, I absolutely loved the draft top to bottom. First pick at second overall, Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU, all the way back to the seventh round, and edge rusher Javonte Jean-Baptiste from Notre Dame. We're going to get into the layers of every single pick today, and that starts at the top. There are a lot of questions where Washington was going to go. Caleb Williams, they're going to trade up, right? Is it Drake May? Is it J.J. McCarthy? Jaden Daniels was Washington's guy, and you heard from Dan Quinn and Peters as far as these last few days and their pressers since they took Jaden on Thursday night. He's been their guy for a long time. And fundamentally, what he's going to be able to do is going to expand a playbook immensely. He's the most talented quarterback Washington's had since RG3 was in the building in 2012. He's going to keep defensive coordinators up late at night. Now for me, you guys have been around here for a while. You understand the concerns that I have right away with Jaden Daniels' game as far as winning inside a structure, being a quarterback. That's what I need to see a little bit more of in those shallow to intermediate areas of the offense, away from the legs, away from the vertical shots that he had at LSU to now New York Giant Malik Nabers and now Jacksonville Jaguar Brian Thomas Jr. So I love the addition. I think he's absolutely immensely talented at the position. Hopefully, you know, he stays healthy for more than a year and what we saw from RG3. Those are some concerns that teams had because look, at the end of the day, guys, the way in which Jaden Daniels wins is his ability to threaten teams with his legs and get outside of structure. Very similar to what we saw with RG3 and very similar to what we see with a guy like Lamar Jackson. And Jaden is going to have to be able to take care of his body because at the end of the day, guys, I'm not being negative here, but it's one hip injury, thigh injury, knee, ankle, foot injury away from changing the way in which he wins under center. And if you start doing that, whether you're a throwback type of passer or you're a guy that likes to get outside the pocket, really where the modern trend is, it's going to adjust your game. And we saw that with RG3 in 2012 when he had the nasty leg injury and it changed how he had to win because he lost his ability to create with his legs and became a throwback type of passer. And RG3 was just never able to evolve into that throwback type of static quarterback passer. So Jaden Daniels, again, he is going to be electric. I am excited to watch this man progress, improve, and develop in this offense. Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, they have their quarterback one. I'm excited for them. Cliff Kingsbury has worked with Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray and Johnny Manziel in the past. The level of athlete fundamentally, I'm not sure if he's ever had a guy like Jaden Daniels. his ability to accelerate, his ability to outrun pursuit angles is going to force teams to live light in the middle of the field, another corner on the field, another safety on the field. Because at the end of the day, you're a secondary, you have to counter tight ends, receivers, right? They have 17 on the outside. They got number one, Jahan Dotson. We got to give attention to those guys. And then you look up and Jaden Daniels is full speed, already 10 yards downfield, and you're trying to catch him. Good luck, because he's going to get out of the box quick. And that's what I'm excited for in this offense. Not him just as a runner, but in the ways he's going to expand this playbook. There are going to be some designated QB draws, QB powers. There's going to be some unique stuff in this playbook. But fundamentally, he's a quarterback. And the way in which he's going to progress as a passer, he is not at his ceiling as a passer. I sure hope not as a passer. But the shallow to intermediate areas within the hashes, continuing to use his lower half and his mechanics and getting increased torque, increased velocity on the football is going to help Jaden Daniels in the early portions of his career, where for me as a passer, take care of the football, continue to move the sticks, and when the opportunity presents itself, make a play with your legs, young man. Be an athlete as you are, and I can't wait to see him compete here in 2024. And Washington, obviously, for their perspective, believes he can be the guy, not only a face of the franchise, but a guy that is going to be the quarterback, the QB1 for the Burgundy and Gold for the next 10 years plus in Washington. Beyond Jaden Daniels, as we know, the draft isn't just round one, three second-round picks. Johnny Newton from Illinois, a guy that was a top 25 lock in the weeks heading up to this draft. But as I always tell you guys, look, things change, people talk. You saw Peyton Wilson, linebacker from NC State, slip into the later portions of day two. Some injury concerns popped up for him. He lands in Pittsburgh, one of my favorite fits of any prospect in this damn class. Think they got a hell of a player. But what Johnny Newton's going to be for this defense, he's going to push Daron Payne, and he's going to push John Allen. Now, how many times are we going to see all three defensive linemen on the field at the same time? Will be interesting this year for Dan Quinn. But again, they drafted Phil Mathis a couple years ago out of Alabama in the top 60 selections. It didn't work. Flat out. John Ridgeway, as a depth guy, I love his addition. Coming in from Dallas, as a guy that was drafted out of Arkansas, they put him on waivers. He's been good in Washington. Now you get an alignment versatile, twitched up type of talent like Johnny Newton to where Daron Payne, John Allen, look, they just got paid recently, both of them, last few years. Now they got this kid in the building who, again, can line at one tech, three tech, five tech. He can be that wide nine rusher outside the tight end, present that angle to where you're rushing that outside shoulder. He can move, guys, at damn near 300 pounds. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do in Dan Quinn's defense to where he's going to be exotic within the front seven. Where does he align? Are they going to put potentially a look to where John Allen, Daron Payne, and Newton are on all one side of the line of scrimmage, and then you got a Frankie Louvu in the B-gap and another twitched-up type of guy in a Dante Fowler or a Cleland Farrell on the other side? Going to be different to how teams look at this defensive line to where I can't just double Daron Payne or John Allen. These guys are going to have isolated matchups, and if you're Dan Quinn, you absolutely love that type of addition. They went BPA, best player available at 36th overall, to where, yes, you can raise questions with the overall fit, where he's going to play, how many snaps. But when you look at the talent of Johnny Newton on rundowns, be able to play the fringe areas, run people down, and then push vertically as a defensive tackle is going to be sensational to watch in Washington. Again, where the attention is going to be on Daron Payne, John Allen. I think Johnny Newton is going to have an excellent impact in year one. Washington's second pick in the second round is a player, guys, I cannot say enough good things about. If you haven't checked out my Twitter, _RyanFowler, I have a video up of me talking about Washington's draft class, discussing every pick from the Draft Network, recorded in Detroit, to where I talked about Mike Sanristil, corner from Michigan. This kid's 2 inches taller and 20 pounds heavier, guys. I said it in the video. I think he's a top 25 lock, for me, at least, in this class. A sensational athlete, sensational football player, and the ability to marriage both is what creates elite football players. Now, again, another guy where you could ask some questions as far as Quan Martin, right? Washington spent 2 second-round picks back-to-back years on guys from that Illinois defense that was loaded, right? Johnny Newton this year, Quan Martin last year. Is Quan, who played nickel last year Is he going to play more of that robber role where Derek Forrest was? Is he going to be that hybrid linebacker that we've seen with the Keanu Neals of the world in the Dan Quinn defense? We will see. But he's another high-level athlete that I think can do a lot of things for you and wear a lot of hats. But Mike Sanders, still day one, is starting for me at the nickel spot. I expect him to not be afraid to stick his face in the ground game. He blows up screenplays with consistency. Turn on the Ohio State tape and watch that game, the Penn State game. He's just a flat-out sensational football player. And if there were a couple players in this class that I would have loved Washington to grab, one of them was Peyton Wilson, the other one was wide receiver Roman Wilson, and then Roman's teammate in Sanders still was one of those guys for me in this class. Cannot say enough good things, and he's a guy that is going to immediately improve the performance ceiling in the secondary and will also give just a tick more time for that front four to flat out get after people and create some more opportunities for sacks in 2024. So again, cannot say enough good things about Mike Sanders still. If you guys haven't checked out his tape at Michigan, sit back, put some pop, get some popcorn in the microwave and watch this kid play football, because he's a guy that gets me excited to watch football, to watch defensive football, to where everybody wants to talk about offense and slinging around, scoring 50 points a game. Watch Mike Sanders still and tell me he doesn't get you excited to watch him here in the burgundy and gold. And I'm just pumped up to see this kid compete for Washington in the years to come. Then they added tight end Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. Look, I really like the game of Ben Sinnott. He's someone, you guys follow me on Twitter, again, _ Ryan Fowler, if you don't follow me there already. I talked about him potentially being tight end too. There was a lot of buzz in the weeks leading up to it, and he ultimately does, right? Brock Bowers goes in the top 15 to Las Vegas Raiders, even though they drafted Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame with a top 35 pick last year. Ben Sinnott, again, tight end too in this draft. And I think absolutely, first off, he's going to compete as that tight end 1B, if you will, with Zach Ertz. I don't know what the future is for John Bates or Cole Turner in Washington. And fundamentally, guys, I could care less. They got to get more athletes at the position. And Ben Sinnott absolutely is that. Six-sport athlete in high school, blocks his ass off, will get out in space for you. Excellent after the catch, can outrun pursuit angles, will go through a guy, will go over a guy. He will do everything. And when I look at this Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, offensive tree, if you will, with Adam Peters and how they've drafted. Look at Kyle Juszczyk in San Francisco. Look at Alec Ingold in Miami with Mike McDaniel. Ben Sinnott can be that type of player for Washington, to where I don't expect him to live in 12 personnel, so one running back, two tight ends, but we're going to see it a little bit this year. And Ben's going to be an extremely alignment versatile type of player that expands the playbook. And he's another guy that's going to force teams to stay light. So not only is the attention going to be on Jaden Daniels and his ability to create as an athlete, then you got Brian Robinson running downhill. You got Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson on the outside. We're going to get into the receiver addition that they added in just a minute from Rice and Luke McCaffrey. And you got some bodies, guys. We're starting to build this foundation a little bit on both sides of the ball. I just talked about Johnny Newton. I just talked about Mike Sanders still. I expect those guys immediately to have a high-level role in their rookie seasons. So again, you're starting to build this thing. And with a guy like Ben Sinnott that can do everything for you, not just do it, but do it well and evolve into tight end two in this draft, good for him. I've had the privilege of getting to know Ben extremely well in this process. For you guys out there with things to look forward to, on my Twitter, I'm going to be having a lot of these guys on. Interviews, live Twitter spaces, scheduling Ben Sinnott, Luke McCaffrey, Mike Sanders still here over these next few weeks. Annually, I do a Meet the Rookies series on my Twitter, where I'll be also interviewing other rookies from around the league, names to know in the division as well for you guys. So that's something to look forward to, guys, for you guys here in the near future. But Ben Sinnott, hell of a young man, hell of a football player, high floor, high ceiling type of guy, a leader within that Kansas State offense, an offense to where, sure, would you have liked to see more targets, a little bit more production in the passing game? That's fine. You could ask for that. But they ran the ball with guys with like DJ Giddens and Deuce Vaughn there these last few years. And Ben was asked to do the dirty work. And for him in this offense, to where Zach Ertz is going to be that friendly face on early downs and high leverage situations, the ability to stretch the seam, the ability to be unique on the outside, potentially some designated touches, Ben Sinnott can do that for this offense. And I'm really, really intrigued to see what Cliff Kingsbury cooks up in his playbook for a kid like Ben Sinnott here in 2024 and the years to come. Then Washington adds Brandon Coleman, tackle guard from TCU. Everything I've heard out of Washington, guys, is that he's going to play tackle right away for the Commanders. I know there's interest in bumping him into guard, but I'm not taking a guy in the second round, and I don't think Adam Peters is, to play over Nick Allegretti or Sam Cosmi right now. I don't see that. Now, could he play over Braden Daniels or Cornelius Lucas? Yes, absolutely. And that's why he was drafted. You look at the length. He's got 34 pluses on the arm at the tackle spot. He's got footwork. He's got athleticism. He can climb to the second level. Now, he's not the Trent Williams, Tyler Guyton, Troy Fautanu type of athlete to where you could ask him to get out and kick out that corner on a bubble screen to the outside. But I think he's going to be a young man that right away you know what you're going to get at left tackle. Now, again, he'd be tasked with protecting the blind side of Jaden Daniels. Is Dan Quinn okay with that? Also, guys, there's going to be cuts around the league. There's still free agents out there if Washington has an interest in going that route. But this regime has no ties, guys, to guys like Braden Daniels and even a guy like Ricky Stromberg within the interior. Do I expect those guys to compete this year? Absolutely. But right now, Brandon Coleman, who played on an ankle sprain all of 2023, imagine he's at 100%. And then what level of athleticism is he at now? That different type of explosiveness, the different type of burst. I love his game. I really do. And I love the pick. Second round, look, that tackle class really begun to thin out. As I've talked to you guys before on this pod, as far as the post Joe Walt, Amarius Mims, Talese Fuaga, Olufoshanu, that second tier of tackles, it thinned out a little bit. This is a kid I saw live at the Senior Bowl. He's a throwback type of build, upper half, wider type of body. He fits the body type and the mold that Cliff Kingsbury wants along his front five. And again, guys, I would be shocked if Washington's trying to play him at guard right away because, again, the guard spots looked locked in. So I would expect Brandon Coleman to work at left tackle and challenge immediately to protect Jaden Daniels' blind side when Washington aligns in week one. Then with the 100th overall selection to round out day two was Luke McCaffrey from Rice, former transfer from Nebraska. Yes, he is the younger brother of Christian McCaffrey. I know you guys have heard that until you're blue in the face, but you know what you're going to get from Luke McCaffrey. Another kid from down at the Senior Bowl I enjoyed watching live. I thought he was an electric route runner, guys. The footwork within the shallow areas, rhythm routes, timing routes. He's going to be able to separate on the slants over the middle of the field. He'll also be a guy that'll cut his teeth on special teams. If you want him to do that, he will block his ass off on the perimeter. Designated touches, I think he's a guy that's a little underrated after the catch. And again, work ethic, team captain, wide receiver three type of player for this offense. I love the addition from Adam Peters, really fun player. Now we get to have a little fun. Moving into day three, Washington did not have a fourth round selection. So they're on the board at 139. And they took a guy, if you guys follow me on Twitter, you saw my tweet about a kid named Jordan McGee from Temple. I said he's a name to watch on day two, ultimately goes on day three to Washington. And he is a kid, you turn on his tape at Temple. If this kid was at a Power 5 program, I would expect him to be a late day two selection. And Washington got him in the fifth round. 13 tackles for loss this year for the Temple Owls. Flies around, can play at the line of scrimmage. He's 225 pounds, so he offers you that elite type of athleticism to play the fringe areas. He'll delete tight ends over the middle of the field. He is somebody right now. I don't want to sit here and say that he will outplay Jamin Davis, but damn it, Jordan McGee can flat out play the game of football. And if I want a linebacker, and I want a linebacker with instincts, and I want a linebacker that gets after at the line of scrimmage and can play in space, that is Jordan McGee. And how many years have we sat here saying, when are we going to see it from 52? When is Jamin Davis going to take that step? I'm tired of seeing Jamin Davis chase down plays or tight ends running right by his face and goes over the top of his helmet. How many times have we sat here and said that? Now, Washington's made additions, bringing in Bobby Wagner. He is going to play every damn snap this year that he can for the Commanders in the middle of that defense. But Jordan McGee absolutely is going to play this year. I expect him fundamentally, guys, core special teamer immediately, and to be a rotational defender at the second level for Washington. But he is not 250. He is not 205. He's 225. So that safety, hybrid linebacker type of build to where you look at him, you look at Frankie Louvu, you look at Jamin Davis, you look at Quan Martin, you look at Percy Butler, those type of versatile athletes, second to third level type of defenders, you're just allowing Dan Quinn to be consistently unique in the certain packages that he's going to have. And Jordan McGee flat out gets after people on the football field. And I cannot wait to see him play in 2024. And the biggest thing for me, guys, is over these last few years, if you're the Giants, or you're the Eagles, you're Dallas, you're any other NFL team that had Washington on the schedule, you never knew what you were going to get from Washington. Are you going to get a team that wants to sling it around? Are they going to show up this week? What Commanders or Redskins or Washington football team were we going to get? Dan Quinn, Adam Peters are building a team to where I'm the New York Giants and potentially they line up with Washington on week one. You know what you're going to get in the Washington Commanders. The type of physicality, the type of athleticism, the type of versatility, the type of pop that you're going to face when facing the burgundy and gold. That's what you have to build to where teams know what you are, what you're going to get in that type of team. Now, it's not saying they know what scheme you're running, they know what offensive structure you're going to put against them or certain packages on defense where you're going to take advantage of you on third down. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I want teams to look at a schedule and say, damn it, we got to play Washington this week. That's what GM Adam Peters is trying to build in DC. And as we've gone through these last few picks, you start at the top with Jaden Daniels, Mike Sanders still at nickel, versatile piece like Ben Sinnott, Luke McCaffrey as wide receiver 3, Johnny Newton as a guy that's going to compete with Daron Payne and John Allen. You're getting guys that are not just going to wear a jersey, they're going to compete, they're going to produce, and they're going to outplay potentially their draft slot early in their career. Washington's final two picks here in their second fifth round selection, Dom Hampton from Washington. Look, Washington played Michigan in the national championship. Another team captain that Adam Peters prioritized in this draft. Another piece in that safety line, hybrid linebacker role for this defense. Dom Hampton, extremely productive, instinctive kid, not afraid to hit people over the middle, not afraid to come down near the line of scrimmage, reduce that depth, and get after people in the run game as well. Shed blocks. He's physical type of ball player. Another core special teamer, again, in the fifth round with the 161st overall selection. He's going to play some football this year, and he's going to push the Forrest, the Percy Butlers, Mike Sanders still, Quan Martin, Jordan McGee, Jamin Davis, those hybrid second-level defenders, fringe defenders, that he's going to push those guys to get on the football field. And I love it. Competition helps. Guys playing for snaps. Snaps are not given. They should always be earned. I don't care. You've been in the league for 8 years. You're a guy like Dom Hampton that's coming into the league as a rookie. Can you play or can you not? Washington's going to figure that out here with these day three guys. And then they wrap up their draft class with Javonte Jean-Baptiste, edge rusher out of Notre Dame. Another guy that you know what you're going to get from a floor perspective. And I love the length on Javonte. I love his ability to play the five. He can play the four eye, head up on the tackle. I love his ability in the fringe areas. He's not the most athletic in the world. I don't have concerns with him as far as on early downs right away. But he's not going to be that twitchy type of pass rusher to where he's going to play a ton of snaps. He could very easily be a guy that goes inactive every single game this year and nobody's going to bat an eye. But coming into this defense in training camp to where there are still those young pieces from prior regimes and Andre Jones Jr. and KJ Henry, even though both those guys showed some flashes last year, they are not Dorrance Armstrong. They are not Cleveland Farrell. They are not Dante Fowler. Those are your top three edge rushers for Washington right now. And getting a guy like Javonte from Marcus Freeman's program up there in South Bend, you know what you're getting in that type of player to where he's going to do anything possible to get on the football field. And again, I mentioned the length. I mentioned no concerns on rundowns. Now it's about just getting and working with Ryan Kerrigan's and the Daryl Taps in Washington's building and working on his pass rush repertoire beyond him just trying to long arm guys and bull rush guys back into the pocket. But in the seventh round, we've seen Washington in the past consistently add edge rushers, whether it was Javonte, whether it was Andre Jones, whether it was William Bradley King or James Smith Williams or Shaka Toney, all those guys were taken in the seventh round. And you can never have enough guys that can at least come in the building and compete for a spot to get after the passer. And that is what Javonte Jean-Baptiste is going to offer for Washington's defense. So that is Washington's 2024 draft class. I do want to get in to a few UDFAs that Washington brought in, most notably quarterback Sam Hartman from Notre Dame. Very different skill set from Jaden Daniels, a little bit more similar to what Marcus Mariota is going to offer, just as far as his arm strength inside the pocket and limitations he has at times as an athlete. I mean, Marcus coming out of Oregon was a dynamic athlete, but obviously he's not the same guy now in his seasons in the NFL. But Sam Hartman's going to come in and potentially be QB3, or does he beat out Marcus Mariota? Who knows? Bringing him in as UDFA, let him compete. A lot of success at Wake Forest, a lot of success at Notre Dame this year. Good for him to get an opportunity, and good for Adam Peters to bring him in the building. Safety Tyler Owens, if you guys follow me on Twitter, you saw me break that news on Twitter with the UDFA deals. Paid him a lot of money to come in. High-level athlete for Tyler. Now, very interesting character. I'm sure you've seen the things out there, guys, of Tyler Owens. Young man that said he doesn't believe in space. Very interesting kid. But from a football perspective, he could play ball. And Texas Tech produced also Dadrian Taylor-Demerson in this draft. Tyler can play. And look, athletically, I don't know if there's a lot of players in this class that have the athletic intangibles and the thresholds that Tyler Owens can meet. Unbelievable, Herculean type of athletic profile, if you will, for Tyler Owens. I want to read you off some numbers here on Tyler, who is down at Shrine. We saw him get banged up a little bit at the combine, so he wasn't able to fully test. 6'2", 215, so another guy that's going to compete as that second, third-level defender. Right? I'm sure you guys are catching a trend with those type of guys. Again, 6'2", 216, 41-inch vertical, a 12-foot, 2-inch broad, which was the second longest of anybody in the history of the combine, second only to Byron Jones out of UConn years ago, jumped a 12-3. So the explosiveness in his lower half is unbelievable. 4.35 in the 40 with a 1.5 10-yard split, 4.15 in the short shuttle, and a 6.9 in the 3-cone. Flat-out sensational athlete. Now, as I mentioned with Mike Sanders still, high-level athlete, high-level football player. The football player part of it, he can play ball, but marrying those two is going to be big for Tyler. But if I'm making a bet right now that he could potentially make this roster, or at least compete, that's the type of athlete to where you could immensely outplay your quote-unquote draft slot as a guy that's coming in as a UDFA and was not drafted. So again, long way to go for him as a defender, or forever asking Tyler Owens to become a core piece of this defense. But athletically, there were a lot of players eligible, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of players eligible in this draft class. And I look at him at 6'2", 215, from an athletic intangibles perspective, there is simply nobody that matches up to Tyler Owens out of Texas Tech. They also brought in Chigozie Anuzium from Colorado State, paid him a ton of money, had a ton of interest from a bunch of teams. I sit here right now and look at this UDFA class and look at one guy that I would bet on if I had to make the roster, it would be Chigozie. Tall, long, looks a lot like Benjamin St. Juice, looks a lot like Emmanuel Forbes, looks a lot like Michael Davis. Cover three type of body to work downhill. Can play safety, can play outside. I think he'll do a little bit of both. He can play special teams. Again, there's UDFAs across the league, guys, that go overlooked and, of course, undrafted. And Chigozie's ability to come in the building, get an opportunity, not only compete in minicamp, move forward there to where this corner's room right now. Again, this regime has no ties to a guy like Emmanuel Forbes or Quan Martin. Need you guys to remember that. Anything is possible in this corner's room. Now, Michael Davis, I expect to have an impact this year. James Pierre, we'll see what he does. I think he's a special teams guy, a potential camp body for this roster right now. But a lot of those guys look the same. That 6'1 to 6'3 threshold, long arms, lanky type of body types that can work downhill. Chigozie fits in that mold as well. So that is Washington's 2024 draft haul. Again, from 10,000 foot view, these guys have yet to even get fitted for their helmets, guys in Washington. But fundamentally, look at the talent diving through these guys' reports, names that I've been diving into for really years now, and obviously really getting into the layers of each player from their success in 2022 to 2023, seeing them at showcases, seeing them at the combine, and getting to know them, then their pro days, and now what to project them into Washington, I'm excited. I'm fundamentally excited. Now, I have to keep everything in context, right? Of course, got to execute. Can't win games on a spreadsheet. Got to line up on Sundays and put this thing together. But the foundation is being laid for Washington to look. I don't want to sit here and say, guys, expect an NFC East title in 2024. You look anywhere else and everyone's going to talk about Philly and they're going to talk about Dallas as it's been for years. But every single year, we see a team or two go from worst to first in their division. And when I look at the additions that Washington made at quarterback and the athlete that Jaden Daniels is and the attention that he'll draw in multiple facets with his arm, with his legs, another player along the defensive front to where you're going to force teams to get Deron and John in isolated opportunities. You can't double everybody. Mike Sanders still to lift the performance ceiling of the secondary. Ben Sinnott to continue to expand the playbook, help out in the run game, help out in the passing game. Versatile athletes like Jordan McGee and Dom Hampton in the secondary and the linebacking position. You add a guy like Luke McCaffrey, electric route runner, physical ball player, special teams core contributor to work behind Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. And then you add another edge rusher in Javonte Jean-Baptiste to at least compete for snaps as a seventh round type of flyer. I'm happy. And I'm more than happy. And if I were forced to make a bet on a team that can go potentially from worst to first, Washington. And look, I love what Chicago did. I know I really do like Detroit, what they're doing. So I don't want to say Chicago right now, even though I love what they did. Caleb Williams, Romo Dunze, Kiran Amegadeje from Yale, the tackle. They drafted Torrey Taylor, punter from Iowa, the highest drafted punter in 12 years. Then they ended their draft trading up for a guy like Austin Booker from Kansas, the edge rusher that I thought was one of the more underrated players in this class. And conversations with scouts were if he came out next year, potentially could have been a first-round pick. So not saying Chicago is going to go worst to first in the NFC North. There's a lot of talent in that division. But I look at the lapses I've seen from Dallas and Philadelphia last year to where they were really exposed towards the middle back end of last year. The Giants are trying to figure out. They still don't have a quarterback. Washington's got their quarterback. They have receivers. They built along this front five with a guy like Brandon Coleman now potentially playing left tackle. They have receivers. They have big boys in the middle in the trenches that can win. And they're adding talent in the secondary and expecting a big year in year two from Manuel Forbes. Again, don't want to get too far, my head over my heels here, but be excited, guys. This is drafting the right way. It's drafting immediate playmakers at a variety of positions that are not just going to wear a jersey. They're going to make an impact. So, guys, I can't wait till minicamp. I can't wait till training camp. And I can't wait for week one of September and what we're going to see from the Burgundy and Gold and the Commanders, not just in 2024, but in the years to come, to what to expect for this football team, to where they're trying to get back on the tracks, not just towards winning football games, but towards winning in the NFC East, winning divisional football games, and getting back towards relevancy, and ultimately competing for a playoff spot. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Always appreciate you guys tuning in. I mentioned earlier that I got a bunch of interviews coming out with players that'll be live on my Twitter spaces at @_RyanFowler here over these next few weeks once the guys begin to get settled. Again, always appreciate you guys. This podcast is on all podcast platforms. All my work is at Bleacher Report and the Draft Network. Always appreciate you guys following with me here this draft process. I know it's a long process. It wears on you a little bit. I'm glad that now we are post-draft. We got the guys in the building. We are able to project what these young men are able to do on offense, defense, and special teams for the Burgundy and Gold. And I'm just flat out excited because DC is going to start playing football again. So as always, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. I will talk to you real soon. I am Ryan Fowler, and this is Commanding the Huddle.
When I grow up, I'm going to be a veterinarian?
It's awesome.
And I'm going to be what you said we need more of.
So you want to be a plumbernarian?
Do you think I can?
I think that if you work really hard, you can be anything.
Promise?
You bet I do.
When you promise your kids the world, we're here to help you keep it. Ohio's 529 plan is the best tax-free savings plan for future college or career training nationwide. Start now at collegeadvantage.com.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
If your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
"It's happening!
Booyah! Yeah! Crushed it!" But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.